Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vanderpump Rules Season 10 Reunion Part 2 Wrap Up Podcast. The great Al Asher cannot be with us tonight, but she is listening to us from a trailer 100 yards away, and she'll be joining us next week, so don't worry about that. But I do have the great dynamic duo, Haley Strong and TikTok Nicole. Haley, how are you?
Sorry, what's that? I just came back from my fifth bathroom break of the reunion.
Yes, just stay in your chair, Haley. It makes it a lot easier. Just stay in your chair, please.
But it's harder for me to yell at people while sitting in my chair.
That's true. Nicole, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Feels great to be back as always. So happy to be here the night after the Good as Gold EP was released. Very iconic. Yes. And maybe we'll talk about Sandoval too. You know, he did some stuff. We didn't really learn anything new.
No, she is a legend though. Unbelievable. And that type of atmosphere to break out that record, knowing that moment, unbelievable.
She was just sobbing, like hysterically, giving a monologue about how Sandoval ruined her life and all of her friendships and how she's the biggest victim. And then she pulls out the record, like queen of making it all about herself. Iconic.
Hear me out. Was this Sheena's best episode of Vanderpump Rules ever? And like, I don't mean like activity wise. I mean, like, has she ever seemed better than this? Like, I feel like Sheena always does a questionable thing where I'm on her side on this episode.
She was great. The way she kind of kept her composure for as long as possible, which you don't actually have to do. But the way she was able to like keep that composure for almost to the end, and then she finally broke a little bit at the end of it. But she was great. She had a lot of good points. She had a lot of good one-liners. She's like Zing Schwartz a couple times, which I really appreciated. She was able to articulate her pain very well, the betrayal that she felt from Raquel and Sandoval. Yeah, she was fantastic. She, for me, is probably the biggest winner from this part, and really from the first two parts, because now we probably won't see her again for much of the next week. But yeah, she was a big winner for me as well.
Yeah, she set the bar pretty high at the finale, though. Her scenes where she was talking to Ariana when they were all in the breakup cave, like, she had great moments then, but I'm like, best of all time, I mean, she wore a crop top wedding dress, like, that was pretty iconic. I mean, the fact she was getting married to someone she would soon divorce was not iconic, but she was the most iconic part of that situation. So Sheena has the highest highs and the lowest of lows. She did get punched in the face at her own engagement party.
Right.
But that's just like, that's Sheena luck right there.
That is. So yeah, so we have Sheena as a big winner. Obviously there's a lot of other things we'll get into. They really start off with like the Lala Randall set. I know there's like so much happened throughout the season, but it just feels anytime we're not discussing the Scandoval and even like Schwartz and Katie a little bit, it does feel like we're just, as Katie says, just getting through things, just looking to get through things. And obviously this would have been a much higher profile topic if it wasn't for the Scandoval, but we have a little bit more into Lala and Randall. Lala gets a pushback over the timing of the relationship starting with Randall. I don't know if we got real closure on that. I think it's a little muffy as to when the timeline started, Nicole. Did you get a sense of like, what, like for Lala and Randall, like, was it like the first time or was it months later? What did you get from Lala?
I think it's funny that they met at Sir. I love how Lisa was vehemently denying the fact that he was not. No, he really was in my restaurant. I do think like she,
I mean, it is where you take your mistress,
right?
great callback. Yeah, I do think they probably hooked up after the first date. Do I really care? No. I mean, she got a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, probably more bad things out of that relationship, but she was always adamant that she hit it the first night. So I'm going to take her at her word. Maybe she was flexing for Stassi in that callback, but I don't know. I was pretty adamant that like she was in it from the beginning, but I doubt that she was on the casting couch. If she denies that, I believe her. Believe women.
Haley, what did you make from Lala? Lala was all over the place for a lot of it, but like this scene with Randall, any big takeaways from you that you had here?
I'm a little naive and I will just like take people for like at their word. Like if she says that's the case, like they met at Sir and she meant more like the first date that she hit it, whatever. I do think she was probably like trying to like be cool for Stassi, and also that was in her drinking days. So like, you know, things can be a little messy. Also, Nicole, sorry, I meant to tell you, your haircut looks fantastic. Yes,
thank you. I thought it was giving Raquel, you know, no, for the shoulder longer. Length. Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
I really like it.
It's like I walked into the salon and said, give me the haircut of the most hated women in America, Raquel and Hailey Bieber. I said, feel like fuck me up, fam.
I feel like there's like a 2-inch difference between what you've got going on and what Raquel usually does. So, but
that's all the difference.
Yeah, I think Lala, as much as we, I think we can enjoy her and support her. Like, I feel like her timelines have always been a little fuzzy, and she's not my most reliable narrator. Mm-hmm. I have been listening to her podcast the last like couple weeks. I really do enjoy it. And she says something a lot, probably 3 times an episode, where it's like sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And she like goes with that a lot. And I don't back that. I feel like you can be really mean with just your words,
especially coming from Lala, because that is her big thing, is that like she will like cut you apart with her words. So it is interesting that she's the one preaching that, because she would bore get you with the words.
Yeah, and it's like what you say can really hurt my feelings, and I will take that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never forget Lake Havasu when her and Raquel were just calling each other bimbo mistresses back and forth.
And Lisa, again, like I think maybe after lunch, so I think we saw Lisa kind of change tunes a little bit after the lunch break. But even before here, she was like pushing back on Lala. She was the one that brought up the timeline with Randall. She's pushing back on her getting so angry. Lisa, again, was kind of in a weird, she was pushing back on James a little bit as well here. Like this was, again, like I don't know what was going on with Vanderpump here before the lunch. Maybe she needed to eat and then she like kind of came to like where she should be a little bit more sidey. But even here, once again, she was trying to like push back on the people coming at the Tom. So it was very odd to see Lisa pushing back at Lala over all this, of like really trying to like kind of crack at her own character and make her like untrustworthy witness almost in the whole proceedings. That was very odd. Yeah. I found
she's in her defensive era. I don't know what she's defending, what her agenda is. I think maybe she's just like people pleasing Andy a little bit. She's like, oh, not my kids embarrassing me on live television again. And she wanted to shut it down. But I think after she had some lunch, I agree with that. That's a very poignant point.
Yeah, the lunch break was one of my favorite moments of the entire episode. I loved all the behind the scenes stuff. I feel like they got a lot of like coming away from commercial break, coming into commercial break moments. They don't normally do one for reunions a lot of times. And then even like this whole lunch break situation, which I think it could be one of the more important things with Tom and Raquel, where we get to see them first for the first time interact here. At the reunion, and they have a whole conversation that feels, the way it ends and the way it starts feels very like Sandoval being like, okay, action, and okay, cut at the end of it. So Haley, so we have Tom and Haley, Tom and Raquel.
Don't you dare.
I almost can't say anything meaner. But we have Tom and Raquel basically recounting the events of the reunion, Tom giving his perspective, and Raquel's like, yeah, I kind of saw the whole thing. Sandoval giving his perspective. Where do you think his perspective was fair that he was sharing with Raquel from his point of view?
No, because here's my thing. I think Tom is struggling with his loss of control on the situation, and therefore he's like trying to put his little tendy hooks into anything he can. And that is Raquel. And so him learning that she is watching the reunion from the trailer, then you can see the wheels turning for him of like, oh, okay, well then I can't control the narrative that they're just like berating me and they're so mean and they're calling you an idiot. Like he can't control that narrative. And then later again, that's mirrored when he says, oh, I need to take a break from filming, and we see the producer. And it was like the stupidest argument I've ever seen, because Tom is obtuse. Where he's like, oh, I need a break. And they said, okay, great. You can absolutely have a break. you have to take that break alone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I want it with Raquel. And they're like, well, then the cameras have to be with you. That's in a contract. You know, that's the case. He's like, no, that's so messed up. When on it, like it's so blatant that he wants that time off camera with her to like set her up for her segment and tell her what to say. Like, it's so obvious.
Right. So he wants to review the script that they,
exactly.
And any new key things that they want to review. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of points he tried to hit. And it's funny how they always talked about Raquel. Like, if, you know, she'd always plan what she was going to say, and if it didn't go according to her plan, she'd basically short circuit. And I felt like we saw Tom short circuit a lot. But his like version is not talking. It's like, I know I am, but what are you? Like, that's what it felt like. We got a lot of like, okay, but you, I'm a narcissist. No, you're a narcissist. Like, you took your IUD out as soon as Stassi did. Like,
that's a, we need to get, we'll circle back to that. We got to circle back to that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when, Ariana was like, oh, like, you told me your tactic was just to talk over people when you didn't want them to talk. That like, no, that was your tactic. No, that was your tactic. No, that was your, like, it was so juvenile.
Yeah, just call Tom Sandoval Ted Lasso with the way he was coaching Raquel. You could tell that he didn't realize that Raquel was going to watch the whole thing, because he came in and he was kind of like mansplaining it. And then as soon as he realized that Raquel was watching a stream of it live, he was like, oh, shoot, I can't, you know, control this thing. Mm-hmm. He was spiraling out of control. I felt the short circuiting energy, the way he was like, I need to stop filming. It was giving adult temper tantrum. Yeah. I was reading online, the producer, who deserves an Emmy for people handling after tonight, he should have put Tom Sandoval more in his place, but that producer, apparently he was a cast member on that show Fire Island, if anyone watched that a few years ago.
Wow, what a
producer
callback.
Patrick. So, yes, producer Patrick served, because like the minute somebody that's like my age starts like, you know, raising their voice at me, I'm just like, chill. Mm-hmm. And I know if I say chill, it's going to make them not want to chill harder, but they needed a second to, you know, get their story straight. Like, and it's sad to admit that Ariana, like, was the girl that was being coached once. Like, she can speak to it because that's her experience. Like, sad, but true. And you could just, and the worst part of that whole scene is when Raquel is like, they're trying to make us out to be pathological liars.
And which we know we're not.
What about the affair?
The only thing we lied about, like, we didn't lie about anything except that one thing that involved a lot of other things. And was seven months long.
The only thing we lied about was the affair. What else is, well, everything else we told the truth about
was truly everything. Right. And that brings me to another point when, I don't remember. I think it was in Andy's one-on-one with Raquel, which was like, I truly felt my brain seeping out of my head. A, because it was so stupid. And B, because like, it was hard to follow any of the quote-unquote logic that was being presented to me, including like, well, I thought Ariana was dumb because obviously like we had the affair going on and it was so obvious. And then Andy was like, did Ariana ever confront Tom about it? Well, yeah. What did Tom say? Well, Tom obviously said nothing was happening. And it's just like, okay, so you think Ariana is stupid for believing her boyfriend, her long-term boyfriend, partner, life partner, who you also want to be your boyfriend? Because you just admitted like, yeah, I was hoping that we could just be together. Like, for what reason? What reason did you think that?
It's not adding up for a reason.
No, it's not. And like, the frustrating thing for Raquel is, like, in the interview with Andy, even every conversation she even has with Tom, it just feels like, as Ariana points out, she's just regurgitating things that Tom tells her to say, or like tells her the points to make. And it doesn't feel like we get like any authentic response from her. Everything just feels like so scripted and Tom stamped of approval. Even like, again, like the conversation where it's like, yeah, we didn't lie about anything other than the affair. I'm sure that's what Tom is reinforcing in her head like multiple times. It's so frustrating that we don't get any sense of how Raquel truly is feeling. Maybe because she doesn't have feelings, possibly, because it's all just like what she's been fed to say. It's just all like coming, it's all Tom 2.0 of what to say, which is annoying from a viewer.
When has Raquel ever been genuine? Quickly. See, you can't think of anything.
Yeah. The panic attack in the car.
Oh, and that was a little too real.
Yeah, I was feeling that.
I have seen theories about like trying to, because again, we're still trying to figure out what this like big reveal is. It's 5 minutes in the last episode.
We have theories.
The theory I've seen on that, the latest theory of is that panic attack is related to that, because maybe the affair was already going on and she was freaking out being in the car with Ariana and all of them, that they would come out. I've seen that theory being tossed around. And I've seen theory like the fact that they had on this lunch break, maybe there was a hot mic moment when they didn't realize they were still on mic. Maybe Tom got his way and thought there was like a off camera moment, but there really wasn't. So yeah, I mean, we still don't know. You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. But Nicole, you brought up the comment that I think happened in this segment with Randall, where I think almost under his breath, it's almost surprising they caught it, because I don't think anyone else did. But the comment
about Lala went on her IG and said, like, if I would have heard that.
That was my question, because there was no follow up to that comment and no one said anything. So yeah, so did Lala, what did Lala say after hearing that comment on the episode? Because I don't think anyone heard it live.
No, she said like nobody heard that. And that like there are a lot of moments you don't hear. Like, and I feel like we got that a lot in the first episode. Mm-hmm. They almost foreshadowed it nicely. Like we got a lot of like side banter through like the microphones. And she went on her Instagram and basically said, like, if I would have heard that, you'd have been done for. Like, you can say what you want about me. Like, that's your prerogative, but like, don't talk about my child and don't talk about like how my child was brought in this world, et cetera, et cetera. And like, I'm not always on Lala's side, but I'm very much on her side in this. Like, he had absolutely no right to say anything like that.
Yeah, Tom Sandoval, not a feminist, confirmed. Like, we needed more confirmation.
Yeah, it's just kind of like grody, because like all of the girlies were getting pregnant around the same time. And I could very much see like they, you know, there was always rumors about like the Vanderpump Rules baby packed. And it's like, I can see that.
And I don't think it's not like going to like an urgent care to get like a COVID test. You can't just like walk in and just get your ID that like that's just not how it works.
And like, I'm sure it was like a planned thing. Yeah. Like it was like, okay, well, you know what? We aren't getting married anymore, so why don't we think about having a child and like, you know, whatever. Like, it wasn't shocking to me when she announced she was pregnant. And I don't know. Tom is like grody little dude. I'm glad he doesn't have any children to bestow upon us.
Thank God. Thank God. We could have an entire spinoff of just James and the girls chatting at lunch. That would be just such a fun show for me, just seeing them like gossip about other people. James, Raquel, or James. Oh my God. James, Ariana, Katie, and Lala just all hanging around, eating lunch together, gossiping about what the going on with the day. That was one of the more pure joy moments for me from the reunion. Just
it was like actual fun. Yeah. I liked when Ariana came out in her little sweatsuit and Lisa was like, what are you doing? She's like, I couldn't have eaten in that. What are you talking about? I barely sit in it.
Yeah. That's funny. I've always thought that, like, when they have their lunch breaks, are they wearing like their ball gown dresses while eating like a Caesar salad, or are they changing? And it's good to know for the most part. Lala kept her dress on. I think everyone else did put on like a sweater, or I think Katie wore like a robe over her dress. But yeah, I always wonder what they do during the lunch break. So that was good clarity. So I appreciate that.
I love seeing everyone's little slippers. Like, it looked like a Amazon ad from TikTok threw up all over the screen with the amount of fuzzy slippers I saw.
I think actually Katie might have been wearing a robe from Lala's robe line.
Oh.
Which is like great synergy.
You love it.
Forgotten shilling content. I forgot all about it.
You forgot about shilling content?
I know. I forgot about Lala's. I guess it's not content. Yeah. She made it herself.
I mean, made it herself, I think, is probably not quite the case, but she sold it. She definitely, her name was on the package.
I'm not going to look into the ethics around that.
Mm-mm, no, thank you. I do not have an economics degree, nor a social justice degree. I'm blind, actually.
I can't read.
She gave them Lala. Gave them Lala ropes. Good for her.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
We had the debut of Allie, the reunion. I think the only person to make their debut this reunion. I think Allie handled herself pretty well. Got some questions about, you know, Lala and Raquel coming at her about her relationship with James, how they first met. I feel like she composed herself pretty well, was pretty good. Everyone loves her. I mean, Lisa made a point to, like, mid-sentence point out how much she loves Allie. So I think she's clearly indoctrinated herself very well to this group, and everyone seems on board as much as they're on board with James, which is lovely to see. Nicole, did you like Allie's debut on this reunion?
She kind of had like a Delulu start. Like when they were asking her, how did you meet James? Like, you've ever watched Vanderpump Rules? I could tell like she had a plan in her head for how she was going to answer those questions. And I was like, you knew what you were doing when you were going to James Kennedy's show. Like, come on, like you got to be with the band. And like the fact that it was so quickly after, you know, James and Raquel breaking up their engagement. So like I have questions there, but she just seems so sweet. Like she got James in therapy. That's no small task. He's like, I have no childhood trauma. I'm like, James, we've seen your mom on the show. I'm so sorry to report to you that you may have a childhood trauma. But he's working it out. Love that for him. I low-key want to get one of the astrology readings from Allie. They're pretty reasonably priced.
Yeah, aren't they like $48 or something? Yeah.
That's not bad.
I would spend
$40. She should start charging more. Yeah. She needs to start charging more. She should get a lot more than that.
No, that's like a low ball even for a cameo.
Yeah,
she's giving them. She's reading their charts. She's getting into their psychology. That's intimate.
That could be fun. RSVP group activity. Everyone gets their readings done from Allie. Team bonded.
Don't tempt me. That sounds great. Actually, I'm sure she'd give us a group discount. Oh.
She's pulled up now.
Yeah, I really liked Allie in here, actually. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was very judicious, if that's how you use that word, in talking about her scenes with Lala and Raquel. Mm-hmm. I thought she was able to, like, stand her ground and say, like, hey, yeah, I wish I would have told them to back off. And, like, she kind of, like, looked at Lala, and Lala was like, no, yeah, I get it. But she was able to be like, but in that moment, I was willing to take in what they were saying, but I wish I was more protective of our relationship. Yep. And I appreciated that perspective. And I appreciated Lala, like, being an adult about that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see Alec back, assuming that the show is back next season, everyone's on. It'll be interesting to see her on the next season. She gets to see herself on TV. See what the fan response is, learn a little bit more being on camera. Cause I think, as she went through the reunion, as she went through the season, she was getting more comfortable. I like that she pushed back on that, which we can get to that weird story again about, like, Sandoval Schwartz bringing about James getting drunk and kicked out of a club or whatever. But I like that she pushed back of being like, no, actually, no one else was there. Like, I was there. I know what happened. So I'm like, push back on that. And I think, again, I think her being in the group a little bit more, she won't be as not afraid, but won't be as, like, shy to push back on some of the girls now that she's a little more familiar with them. So I think Allie 2.0 next season will be a lot of fun, and I think a good person to add into this mix, because I think she pointed out here how good she could be within the group, as she did here in the reunion.
I hope she gets second season lip fillers. I think she's ready. It's time.
No, I like her lips. I like that she's like
a rite of passage. Oh, you know, like when the drag queens come back for All Stars on RuPaul's Drag Race and they have duck lips because they got that money from the show. Allie, we're gonna personally fund her lip injection site.
Oh my
God. She doesn't need it, but if she wants it, we're fundraising for her.
Oh boy,
we'll sell more feet pics like they did for.
No, if I'm selling feet pics, it's for my own things. Also, I just, you know, I've been talking the last few weeks about how I recently started Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and we meet Paul Nassif, who at that time was married to Adrienne Maloof, one of the housewives. And it's funny because, you know, him and Lisa had a bit of a tiff in those early seasons, and yet he comes back as like the consulting doctor on Raquel's second nose job.
I forgot about that.
Does that like come up on there? Do you have like an IMDb page when you come up on those type of things? Like, do you get like a credit?
It's just all in my noggin, like this stuff. I don't know. I should start like a reality TV one, because also during Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Adrienne had a fashion show for her shoe line. And one of the models, I was like, oh, that's Eugenia from America's Next Top Model.
Slay!
Amazing.
She was robbed.
Or when I was watching
Melrose.
Yeah. And when I was watching Winterhouse, and I think it was Gabby, I was like, I know her. America's Next Top Model.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You're welcome. It's my one skill is like knowing when people are from America's Next Top Model.
Miss Encyclopedia Jones over here.
It's an important skill. We got a little more insight, not more insight, a little bit more flashbacks as to Tom and Raquel and her parents about the relationship they had with James, a little bit more. I mean, they had like a very rocky relationship. I feel like that was a big part of why their engagement fell through, right? I mean, they always take a lot of shots at each other. They basically hated each other, Raquel's parents and James. We got a little bit more here.
I wouldn't want my daughter dating James Kennedy.
No, especially like James Kennedy from like 2018, 2019, for sure. Maybe now it'll be a little more tolerable. But
I don't
like,
think so. I've watched the show.
That's fair. But yeah, I mean, they just really just did not like each other. And it's just brutal. They were all very mean to each other. Raquel's parents and James. So even more
James
so.
James goes so deep below the belt. I was watching with my boyfriend and he was kind of like doing something on his phone. And as soon as they showed the flashback to James calling Raquel's mom a fat B word, crazy, crazy, by the way. And he just perked up. He's like, what kind of show are you watching? Right. I'm like, I know it's been a little snoozy, but leave it to James to like say something shocking and extremely offensive, not even borderline offensive.
He doesn't need sticks and stones. He's his words. That's just like Lala. Just
if
like
that's Bella. What he said to Raquel's mom, what do you think he would have said to Katie's mom a couple of seasons ago? Put Raquel in shame.
We got to see James's house. Good for him. Even Sandoval threw him a congrats. We got James moving up in the world, buying a house. I'm glad that Allie clarified that it was James buying the house. They didn't buy the house together. Like I think Andy tried to tee it up as that, but it was James's house and Allie's bringing her cats there, starting a nice life together in the valley. Good for them.
I'm thrilled we're finally getting some cat girls on this show. Like it has been overrun by tiny dog girls for so long.
And barely mean dogs because Graham's not good, I guess. So
yeah. Bring some cats.
I liked, so Katie and Schwartz had a couple of funny interactions. There was one earlier where Katie was like telling Schwartz to like run his hand through his hair because his hair was like all messed up. And then we get the scene here of their kind of like Schwartz trusting everyone and all this stuff. This is where she knows to take a couple shots at Schwartz as well. But I feel like they're saving a lot of the action packed stuff for Katie and Schwartz when Raquel's out there, probably, because I feel like we haven't really even delved that much into them at all. It's been a lot of just like dipping their toe in the scandal and then cutting around all the other storylines. I'm waiting for a little bit more of that, but I feel like when Raquel's out there, that's when we'll get a little bit more with the Schwartz trio and how Katie was treated. Because I feel like, again, once they start getting into some of the storylines, they like delve away into some of the less important ones. It's been a little odd formatting for this reunion. And again, here they just kind of just randomly bring up Katie and Chorus, and then they move on to some other stuff. I don't know if you guys have felt that way a little bit as well as some of the formatting for that, these first two parts.
Yeah, I feel like I can't really get into any of the topics deep enough to like make an impact, because we just, and I get it, we just keep going back to Scandoval, which is fine. Or you know, they keep yelling over each other, and I get the point, but it does not make for effective viewing.
What do you mean screaming is not effective communication?
It screaming makes me insults. It makes me shut down. I think that's you know, maybe I should go to therapy like James.
Yeah, if someone called me a moron over and over again while I'm trying to tell them they're a moron, I'd probably have to leave the stage like James did multiple times. My honest opinion is I think that James was taking a little vape break. He's like, I have to go to the bathroom. Like, what do you think he was doing in there? He was blowing clouds, of course.
I've heard, not that I've heard, but I've seen other things
he could be doing in the bathroom as well. Hopefully not for his sake, but you know, who knows
what James gonna do. Vaping's probably it's still gonna destroy your body in the long run, but hey, right. If you need a little breather, better than a cigarette, makes your teeth a little bit less yellow, you know.
So we get into like the speakerphone call heard around the world after the Watch What Happens Live situation. We dive into the restraining order. Sheena has to be very tight-lipped about it. And it's all about whether or not she punched or slapped or shoved or did anything to Raquel. Allie, in one of her few questions, she asked us, how loud would your speakerphone have to be for Tom to hear Sheena admitting that she did punch Rachel outside of Tom? How clear could speakerphone calls be outside of New York City streets? I feel like it's very odd how everyone was able to hear this call so very well on speaker. I usually can't hear anyone, but maybe I'm just old. I don't know. Gen Z, how's the speakerphone calls going with you, Nicole?
I bet if they were screaming, you could hear things pretty clear. I haven't gotten into a fight in a long time, and especially not one over the phone. But if I'm feeling a little activated, I'm going to be punctuating my words because I want them to hear every single word of my vitriol. So I'm sure it was something like that. And they were panicking, so they probably weren't like the most clear, but they were certainly loud. And that gets the point across. I mean, why do you think they do the Big Brother diary rooms like that?
Haley, I hope you don't have to take a 5-minute pause before you answer if you actually thought Sheena punched Rachel like Sandoval had to do. Longest pause of all time.
I've been having some computer issues over the last few weeks. Short story long, my computer just like wouldn't turn on. I got stuck in this loop. So I basically had to get an external hard drive and find a way to like get all of my stuff onto this external hard drive, reset my computer. And since I've like cleared my computer and done like the factory hard reset, I've run into this issue where my computer will just like will lose Wi-Fi, and I don't know why, and I can't figure it out because I am a little bit stupid. But I don't lose Wi-Fi on like my work computer or my phone. And in this moment, when I was just like slightly looking away, I thought it was one of those moments where my internet on my computer drops. And it wasn't. It's just that Tom could not, like, he was doing the patented Raquel shutdown.
Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to run off the clock. He was like, can I just sit here silently for the next 10 hours and the reunion will just end? Maybe we could just end the reunion and I just won't have to answer.
Yeah, he was like, trying to protect Raquel, because what does he have to protect Sheena for? Right? Mm-hmm. Like,
they were never friends. Let that be known. Tom never loved Sheena.
Yeah, it was brutal. The way Sandoval was very torn. And then he finally started to side with Raquel. And you could see Sheena just like, she was so devastated with how losing Sandoval as a friend, of trusting Raquel, and now trusting Sandoval. And it's just all pouring out so horribly for her. And this is where we start to see like her really start to feel emotionally, how it's really taking its toll on her. And I think Sandoval was starting to like get it a little bit, but again, it all just felt so crocodile teary anytime he would give an apology. And again, he says sorry more to her than Ariana sometimes. Their relationship is just very odd, how Sandoval was treating like the collateral damage he caused from all this. I don't think he still really gets it.
No, and I do appreciate in this moment, I feel like Ariana in this has been really good at only speaking when she needs to. Mm-hmm. Because it's like harder to make her look crazy when she's not like shouting the entire time. Yep. But I did appreciate her using one of her little moments to like stick up for Sheena.
Yeah. I mean, she did the same for James. Like she, as the person most directly affected, she has able to recognize like the people very close to them in this situation have also been very affected. She stood up for James when James was like, "You're my brother." She's standing up for Sheena when like Tom and Raquel were like brother and sister to her. So she's able to like recognize everything that's been caused. And that's not something that Tom was able to do really at all. He tries to like, you know, downplay all the other collateral damage that's been caused from this, as opposed to Ariana being able to recognize it.
And we also see here, Andy gives Sheena a piece of paper, and then we flash back to Raquel giving Andy the piece of paper of them, mm-hmm. like the lawyer, like retracting the restraining order. And Sheena said, like, that piece of paper was BS. Like, that's not something they can do. Like, you have to go to court to do it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Sheena really talks about how much this has affected her. And it's just like, Sheena has had many unlikable moments over the last 10 years, but I really felt for her here because I think, you know, she like held her, she put herself in worse positions defending these people, mm-hmm. and they had no problem throwing her under the bus the first moment where it might benefit them.
Yeah, Sheena's had some bad moments this season. Like, we haven't even really gotten into, maybe it was last week, but it was forgettable if so, her pushing Rachel and Tom Schwartz together. Like, ooh, like if things didn't turn out the way they did, Sheena would probably be looking a lot worse in comparison. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Raquel might be looking kind of good if this all never happened. But yeah, poor Shishu. She's going through it. Like, they got the law involved. Like, let the like, I don't expect Raquel to know the law. So maybe she was just like throwing out a bunch of legal jargon to like make herself look good. But I remember seeing TikToks of Sheena going to court and leaving victoriously. So like, clearly whatever Rachel was trying to do didn't have the desired effect. But maybe she was just trying to like present a different image. I also don't know the law, so I don't know why I'm talking crap about Rachel in this regard. But
no, Rachel didn't show up to court. She,
yes, like, how could we forget?
Yeah, she like, Sheena in the time mentioned that she was handed this piece of paper, but it didn't mean anything. And she could have made the choice to not go to court that day, but she didn't know anymore whether Raquel and her lawyers were bluffing or not that it was done. So she went just to be like, okay, like I just got to make sure that she's like not going to be here. And then it was dropped.
Where does Raquel have the money to hire these lawyers? Does Camila pay that much?
Oh, I guess her sister was like the one who encouraged her to like put the restraining order in.
But Sheena is the sister that Raquel never had. So what's tea?
So Raquel was adopted.
Oh, there's layers.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of layers. So Raquel was adopted by her maternal aunt. So her birth mom, mm-hmm. She had already had her kids and she was done and she became pregnant. And then her sister had wanted children but couldn't have children. So she adopted Raquel. So Grandma Buttons is her biological grandmother.
Right.
So then the
sister, I want her at the reunion.
Grandma Buttons.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear from Grandma Buttons. What did Raquel's mom say about James's you know what? I need to know.
She should offer the shame. She should like scald Raquel. That would be great.
Yeah.
She does have a biological sister, but it's her like adopted cousin.
And so Sheena is the sister she's never had. I want
Sheena to be like, my oldest sister. Like I guess this sister woman like wasn't really actively in her life, and it wasn't until like pretty recently. Like I do think we saw this person at the engagement party.
I think so.
And that was Genealogy with Hayley Strong.
Yeah, please don't tweet me if I got any of that wrong.
No, I think that's right.
If you're Raquel's lawyers, like please don't sue me. I'm Canadian. Your laws don't work here, and I don't have the money for it. This is all hearsay and alleged.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I really wish Ellie was here to tell me if that is okay or not.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, all allegedly. We did. This is where we did get the first glimpses of some of the Raquel one on ones. We talked about it a little bit last week, but now that we're getting, and this will probably be it for like the side one on one conversations that Andy had with each of them. So Andy wants to know, do you think the one on ones with Andy were really adding anything to this reunion? Were they necessary?
I think they didn't hit the way they production wanted them to, but I do think they added some very necessary context to what was happening, or like we were able to compare storylines and, you know, stories even.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate them being there, but I thought they were hyped up too much.
And it's tough when, you know, Tom Sandoval's lying through his teeth the whole time in his, and Raquel is definitely at least partially lying in parts of hers. So you're not getting that authenticity. Not that I'm surprised with that from either Raquel or Tom Schwartz, him too, and Tom Sandoval. And with Ariana, we were getting things that I feel like I heard from other people on the podcast circuit. Like the problem with Scandoval is that it's so juicy that I need to consume the content of the Scandoval 15 hours of the day. So at this point, like I know what there is to know. So if you have new lies, I'll listen. They'll go one in one ear and out the other. And I'll wait for next week to get more of the truth. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I think it's clear that like I get why they wanted to do it. I think this was such an unprecedented reunion moment that they wanted to try something different. But I think reunions are just more meant for like the group setting, bring everyone together. I don't know if they added this when they knew Raquel couldn't be there the whole time, so they wanted to have something else that they can drop in. But if something like this ever happens again, I think we drop the one-on-ones and just do the reunion and let the three of them do, or whoever might be involved, like do the podcast circuit, do a full hour and a half interview where you get more drawn out. Cause these like 30 second clips with Andy is just not, didn't really add much. And like, it's tough on him to, I don't know how long his actual conversations went for. So it's tough to kind of like source out all necessary information. So yeah, I think keep the reunions group settings and let people just do like their typical, you know, podcast circuit stuff. And it was worth the attempt. I think it was worth it. It just didn't stick the landing, and I don't think we need to bring it back again.
So. I also want to talk about Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval's little scene. And I don't know if I'm looking into this a little more than it deserves to, but we hear Tom Sandoval go, green light, green light.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up, yes.
And then Tom Schwartz pulls a bottle of Xanax out and he's popping some. And Ariana's like, is that ecstasy? And he's like, no, it's Xanax. And everyone's like, why are you taking Xanax? He's like, I'm nervous. And people are saying that this was like a pre-planned scene to like distract from Raquel's coming out.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I've seen that. I think people are trying to read too much into that. I think the green light comment to me reads as like, oh, the camera is just on. So like, you know, we're filming again. And I don't.
Yeah.
I like the Xanax thing. I think that was just like Schwartz's own like prop based. Oh, not prop. I'm sure it was like real Xanax, but I think he was like just his own thing to do. I was more interested in the fact that Sandoval, even in that moment, was trying to coach him on what to say. It was, he would like whisper in his ear, like, just tell them like it's your medicine. You can't like talk about it.
That was like, so that was weird. Was like, you don't have to, moment. You don't have to tell them what you're taking. And he's just like, what does it matter? Like,
right. That to probably me was like,
it was a open secret for so long.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was like just a glimpse of like how Sandoval, I feel like, has coached Ariana, how he's coaching Raquel, how he's coaching Schwartz. It was just like he's trying to just be the puppet master, even in that moment. He can't even just let Schwartz just take a Xanax and just be done with it. Yeah, that was to me was a super weird moment that I'm glad the camera's caught. That was very bizarre. So we have another question from Ali saying, so could you please speculate on the coaching Tom wanted to give Rachel after she confronted him about Ariana and their intimacy? So we got a lot of Ariana bringing up the coaching that Sandoval used to do to her, what the coaching he might be doing to Raquel. What do you think the storyline that Tom is trying to feed Raquel that she is going to be the key talking points for their, you know, time on set together next week, Haley?
That they just like they didn't want to hurt Ariana and they were going to tell her and it was an accident, but they just fell in love and like they couldn't resist each other and Ariana was a nightmare to be around and everyone knew it, et cetera, et cetera.
heard it all and that
they she should have seen it coming. They were being obvious, et cetera, et cetera.
How dare Ariana trust her boyfriend of 9 years? And then Rachel has to walk around and believe everything he says when he's been caught in so many lies. Like, I'm sick of it all. They're going to come out and stick to their story. They probably got their timelines correct. Maybe we did get a hot mic moment of them putting timelines together. But them putting together timelines with Schwartz, who can't, he doesn't even know like how to put his pants on in the morning. Like, how the three of them are going to keep it all together, I'm not sure.
The three musketeers trying to come up with a scheme of the century. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see them try.
Yeah. It was very, very interesting because we get, like, obviously, you know, we talked about the first glimpse of the Raquel one-on-one with Andy and like the disgust that Andy would have with some of the answers. Like, I mean, we saw it with Tom, the way he was blaming Ariana in the moment of saying, like, you know, if only she followed me, this never would have happened. And Raquel kind of had the same answer, I'm sure, that Tom coached her on, of like, you know, if she just followed me or if she questioned me, like who amongst us doesn't ask our very good close friend, oh, are you having an affair with my boyfriend? Like, obviously, that's a question you always ask your very close friend. So silly on Ariana for not pressing harder for her boyfriend or one of her best friends. Like, you know, why aren't you having an affair? Are you having an affair?
Well, and it's funny because, like, one of the points I've heard a lot lately, or not lately, but throughout the last couple of months, was that Lala, Katie, and like Allie were suspicious. They were questioning. They weren't sure. But it's, I've heard it, one of the talking points a lot lately from multiple different people is that they are not in the main circle of friends. They are not, like, you know, always hanging out when they're not filming. And all of the people who are in that circle have said, well, that's just like the friend group. Like, it wasn't suspicious at all that they would be going off together. Like, we were all friends and that's just what it was like. And we heard that from Sheena, and it was kind of questionable coming from Sheena, but I've heard it from quite a few members of that group at this point. And so I kind of am very much believing that aspect where it was like, okay, this isn't actually that weird. Like, you don't get the dynamics here.
I mean, yeah. Who wouldn't trust their man in bed with Raquel?
What a nightmare thing to say out loud in front of
cameras. Opposite day.
Amazing. Even Lala in that one little flashback kind of clocked it too, saying like, I think Christina Kelly joked like, oh, you're going to have a threesome with them. And then with Lala joked like, oh, that's a slippery slope. Like, Lala, like, she was on Raquel so early on. It's very impressive about how she was.
Yeah. I don't want to give her full credit for that, because she's always just been a Raquel hater. Sure, that's fine. Sure. Like, she can be a Raquel hater.
She hit the jackpot though, hating on her though.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long con and it worked out for her.
The other key narrative.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was gonna say, I'm ready for Lala to be a villain again. Like, she's been right too many times in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, she needs to be humbled. Love her, but like, I need to see her struggle a little bit. As if she's not struggling with Randall. I want to see it on screen though.
Pumperl's Twitter gets on Lala plenty, so give her some time, and they'll turn on her. They don't like that. I feel like people are upset that Lala is capitalizing this as much as she is, given her history. So I feel like the pendulum could swing back on Lala very soon.
Mm-hmm. Count down the seconds.
Yeah. The key narrative that clearly Tom was trying to push, that he brings up again here, is that they weren't very truthful about his relationship on camera for all these years with Ariana, that they withheld things, that they tried to portray this, like, you know, perfect couple image, and Ariana was very controlling in not, you know, wanting to damper that at all. So Haley, what do you make of, do you think there's any truth to that, to any validity to that Tom and Ariana did hide things to try to make themselves look better as a couple, or were they more truthful than, you know, Tom wants to admit?
No, I do think that's correct. Like, we've heard it from too many people over the years that, like, those are the two people who are most different. I very much do believe that's the case, but I also think he has found a point he thinks works for him, and he's absolutely running with it. Like, that was his plan all along. You know, we saw him planting the seeds throughout this past season, and I do believe it, but I also think he had like a big part in them seeming perfect. Like, he wanted the perfect brand.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't mean you have to stay together for 9 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, I don't know. I feel like that's just minimizing a lot of the relationship. And I think that's incredibly unfair.
But breaking up is so scary. I just gotta sleep with my friend, my girlfriend's best friend. Like, that, how is that any easier than just, like, pulling the plug? Like, Tom Sandoval, like, clearly all he cares about is his image, and that's why he was doing PR damage control when things were falling apart with Ariana. But he was complicit in it. He was actively, you know, seeking that out and performing.
Yeah, he might be more spineless than Tom Schwartz.
Which is, like, bars in hell.
Yeah, like, you are a jellyfish at that point.
It's funny, Heather, because I was agreeing with you while going into this about how, like, I do think they kind of did try to keep that image of them being a perfect couple. But then when Ariana started listing like all the things that she did talk about on camera, that she even added a couple others, it's like, yeah, you know what, actually Ariana herself was pretty open. Maybe it was just Sandoval that was not open about what's going on, because Ariana was very truthful about all the mental health stuff she was going through, all the body image stuff she was going through. She opened up about obviously losing her dad. Like, she went through a lot of shit on the show. And maybe it was more just Sandoval just wasn't opening up about himself and the issues that he was having in the relationship, because Ariana seemed to be pretty truthful about it.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I also would love to, like, add in a little drop of she said she was ride or die for Tom and would, like, always cover up stuff for Tom and to, like, make him look better and stuff. So I think maybe that's, like, a little piece of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, she was ride or die, as she said, to a fault. Like, even when she knows that Tom was in the wrong, she was ride or die. Obviously, they talked about Miami Girl last week. I'm sure, like, some of the fights that Tom has had over the years, she, like, stood by him, but knowing he was in the wrong. And maybe, like, when they discussed it in private and she was, like, disagreeing when they're calling him out, he just couldn't handle that. He just wanted it to always be, you know, sunshines and rainbows. And Ariana has never been that type of person. So I think having any sort of pushback in Sandoval's mind is like her being like a horrible, bitter person, when in reality it's just like a good partner checking you. And Sandoval just couldn't
yeah, handle but that. She was never nice to him and right. always made fun of his stupid fucking clothes and called him stupid and stuff and
just call him a fashion icon and then the enemies issues
and then he'll put out back. yeah
that's all you need to get Sandoval. Fashion icon, calls band is great, his bar is not a failure, any of those things, and that'll get him going.
Too supportive, like, we've seen too much from Sandoval. Like, I'm almost getting a little mad at Ariana for, like, not reigning in this loser.
She was trauma bonded.
I know.
That poor woman. She's finally free, selling Bic razors and serving chicken at the Raising Cane's.
I've heard those razors are fantastic.
I will be purchasing. If Ariana's face is on it, I will be purchasing.
I did appreciate Lisa. This is the way she, I think her mind kind of got right. She was calling out Tom's hypocrisy of, like, the fact that he would always call out Lala for being, like, private over her life and things like that. I'm glad she did point out the hypocrisy of him wanting to do that himself. So I good on Lisa, again, starting to come around. But even when she was doing it, she's not as, like,
hard,
strong. Yeah, not as harsh in the way when she was, like, call out Lala or James for their, like, rudeness or, like, with the comments. She was like, Tom, you were, you know, a little hypocrisy here, but yeah, it was not like her full force. She's really trying to keep that Tom image as strong as possible, I guess.
Tom will be just fine. I feel like every single person or Bravo head that I know that goes to LA says that Tom is the superior of all the Lisa Vanderpump franchises. So I don't know if I can go in good faith, but I feel like that's going to be the one that survives. Yeah.
I've heard the cocktails are good. The cocktails are supposed to be very good there.
And I've heard of some nightmarish things associated with food poisoning and sir. Yikes. So probably be steering clear of the sexy, unique restaurant.
Yeah.
Something about her sandwiches is looking good. Have you seen that come up on your For You page on TikTok?
No,
it's their marketing overdrive. They're all over TikTok.
It's not open, but it looks like their interiors have really come together. Ooh, the exterior has really come together. It looks fantastic.
I was hoping for them, they could have gotten open right after, like, the third part of the reunion, so they could have had, like, an event there to, like, open it as the reunion is closing. But I guess that's probably not going to happen, but maybe
I think it's going to be their premiere episode. Like the premiere is like,
is that
they
opening?
Are, yeah, they are waiting until they get handed the VPR contracts. Yep. And that's the day the doors are
that's smart.
Open.
That's smart. That'd be a nice,
but also just like give them a spinoff.
Yeah. I mean, that could be what happens. That could be what happens. Who knows if they're, if they can't film with half the cast, they might need a new central locale, and then, you know, follow the cook at something about her. Maybe some of the cashiers. That could be the new sir. They might need
We're so high right now. Like the show is just so iconic and amazing, despite this episode being a little sleepy. And I'm saying that as if it wasn't like must watch television.
Right.
It was, but like it was, we got to come down about, you know,
it was the best Scandoval era episode so far. In my humble opinion.
Okay.
See, I think I'm a hot finale take. Head. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel okay. So here's my thing. I feel like the finale, we knew exactly what was going to happen. The finale, like we knew it. I feel like last week's episode was a lot of hype without a lot of pipe. I don't like that.
Sure.
Sure. Where this episode, we finally kind of started like seeing the mess and seeing, mm-hmm. you know, the mask slip on Sandoval. And I think that's going to be like a really good lead into next week's episode. Like it does really feel like a Shakespearean play, the three acts of the reunion. Yeah.
And everyone dies next week. Woo! Maybe.
That's why they can't give anyone contracts, is because they're all dead.
I know they wouldn't do it because obviously they want to have the 3 weeks of content. But this does feel like this would have played so much better if this was just like a 3 hour block, just from like 8 to 11 on one night, and they could just play it all through. So I feel like on like a rewatch, like watching these three in a row, I feel like will flow much better than watching it chopped up a little bit more like this. So I get why they do it. They would never just do it all in one night with all this hype. They want to have the 3 weeks of like record setting ratings and stuff. But I think from a viewer's side, it would have been a lot easier to follow and a lot better of an experience watching them all back to back to back. So that way, like the Raquel stuff that they end with this week with the one-on-one and then her coming out, it kind of just flows right into the next episode. So it is frustrating a little bit, but understandable that they're breaking it up like this. But you know, it's the price you pay.
As an impatient person, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. I mean, anything else from like the one-on-one that Raquel had with Andy? I feel like, yeah, a lot of it was
she's truly
pure disgust and no empathy.
She's a stupid demon. Like, yeah. I think Lala absolutely nailed it. Like, I can't believe we have not seen one single tear, even fake, not from one. This woman. We haven't seen any remorse whatsoever. I think the closest
she's been smiling.
Yeah, actively. I think
she's been laughing more than sad.
The closest
she's like, I have some more regrets.
Yeah, she's like, oh, maybe I should have written Sheena like a letter. Like, go absolutely fuck yourself. That's like, crazy. Get out of here.
Yeah, there's just no remorse. Like, even when she says I should have remorse, I feel like she's just saying that because she feels like she has to say it, not because she actually has it. Like, there's no regret. Like, she's like just realizing now her character is in the question. Like, the line about how she's like going through a transitional period. Like, transitional period is, you know, dyeing your hair a color, right? Like,
yeah.
That's not sleeping and having a 7 month affair. It's crazy.
Yeah, when she said, like, my character is being called into question. And you've earned that. Like, you deserve to have your character questioned. Like, sorry, you participated in an affair with your best friend and her like long-term boyfriend. I think anyone would deserve to have their character questioned at least a little bit.
Says the person with questionable character. Literally.
Right. Me?
Literally.
Just
I think for your
Raquel hair, like, it's so
fair, but boy.
Yeah, I mean, look, the next week is obviously the main event with Raquel out there. And again, I think Sheena had a great episode. I think she had a great reunion. She even had a great finale. So like, she really turned her character around these last few weeks after the rough season she had, looking back on it. But I think we needed the swap out of Sheena for Raquel. I think it's about time that we finally get into it. We get Raquel to actually speak on this and not in like a cut up interview that she had with Andy, which is what we're all wanted to see, just to see her have to speak and see what rationale she tries to give. If she actually sheds a tear, I think all of that will be interesting to see what we have next week. Because I think at the end of it now, we've finally put a bow on everything else from the season. And now all next week will finally be like a decently flow of trying to dive into it with Raquel's point of view, which will be very needed.
What about a glamping recap? I guess that's kind of partially Scandoval.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see them push back on like Schwartz making that joke again now that they kind of have a little bit more of the time frame about bringing up like that she likes taking people. Like, I feel like that should be things that are brought up. But yeah, I'm curious to see how much they kind of walk back on and what they give rationales for the two of them, because who knows if they got their story straight, if they got a hot mic moment.
I'm ready. Give me the hot mics. I want Lisa Barlow. I want part two of Lisa Barlow.
Any other key moments here? No, I was going to say, any other key moments that we didn't discuss, Haley, you wanted to jump in on?
I don't think so. I am just like looking forward to having the complete story, I guess. Yeah. And not that I'm getting tired of it, but I'm also just like ready to have the chapter closed a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know all the information that the cast knows at this point. Like, they've sat there for the reunion. They know, like, all this stuff. I want all this world to be, like, in the same place. I don't like that there's, you know, like, the people knowing what this revelation might be. Who knows what it's going to be, if it's going to be anything. Let's just all, like, catch up to the same point in time with all this news so we can know what's going to happen moving forward. So that'll happen next week, which will be good.
I can't wait.
All right. Let's see. Any other questions that we have? Allie points out, I didn't realize this, that the extended episode from the first one, they put the clips into the regular episode for part two as like flashbacks. Oh. I didn't even notice that. She says that.
That's why it was like 114 minutes ago said this. I'm like, that's very specific.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. So. Good point out there. But yeah, I think we got everything. So we can close this out. All right, you can. This is on the Bravo feed. So subscribe at robiswebsite.com/Bravo or Bravo feed. I think probably Bravo feed. You can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. You can follow Allie at @LastSweets. Haley, they can follow you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. And if you want to check out what I am reading, you can check out my Bookstagram account at The Strong Library. You can hear more of my voice over in the Top Chef for Hap Up. Also, Grace Leader, Miles Nye, and I are getting together this weekend to talk about the season finale of Taskmaster and season 15 as a whole. And then The Bachelorette's coming in a few weeks. So
I feel like The Bachelor, this has been one of the longest breaks, I feel like, for The Bachelor. And I don't even really watch it much anymore. I just feel like I haven't seen commercials or tweets for it in like a month or two.
I feel like the marketing for it hasn't been as hyped up. Well, last year, The Bachelorette didn't start until July. So that was a bit of a longer break. Okay. And because this season of The Bachelor aired 3 weeks later, I think it is pretty well in line with their normal timeline. It just feels weird. The Bachelorette starting in June.
Okay, there you go.
Well, the cast dropped today, so get yourself ready. I know we probably got a draft coming up.
I mean, we probably have a draft coming up.
What about you, Nicole? Where can people follow you, and what have you been doing?
I'm Behind the Secret, Twitter, TikTok, of course, and Instagram. Those who may be following me might have saw that we had a pretty crazy week last week with the Survivor finale and the Big Apple. So for more picks and stories of that, I'll be talking over on Silent Podcasts on the Isaiah and Nicole Show.
Nice. All right. We'll be back the full gay next week to put a stamp and a close on this reunion for part 3. Until then, have a good one.